Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Hello, and welcome to the Blizzard Watch podcast. I'm your host, Matt Rossi. With me this week are my two fantastic co-hosts and also a special third guest host. Ooh, spooky times. It's not even Halloween yet. First up, I'm going to introduce Liz Harper, the EIC and overall giant grand high poobah of Blizzard Watch. Hi, Liz.
Hello.
Up next is Joe the Joe Perez. Why he would be called Joe the Joe Perez. That's terrible. Anyway, hi, Joe.
I've had worse nicknames over the years. That's fine. I'm okay with this.
You probably got at least one nickname during the whole time when the Nintendo Punch-Out came out.
No, because I was... Joe? No, I mean, no, it would have been Little Mac. It would have been Glass Joe.
Oh, Glass Joe, right.
Yeah. But no, nobody called me Glass Joe. That would have been a very awkward conversation.
Yes, it would be very unpleasant. Like when there was a serial killer named Matt and everybody was comparing me to him. Anyway, finally, third up is my fellow Edmontonian of all things. We're both living in Edmond, which it's been unseasonably warm all weekend, and I'm not sure what to do with it.
It has been lovely.
Yeah, I wanted it to be like, you know, sweater weather, jacket weather, not 23 degrees Celsius, which is warm, guys. I know you don't know what it is, but it's warm.
It's definitely too warm to be wearing a nice sweater at the end of the day.
Yeah, I was looking for, I mean, it's late October. It's like, well, not late, but it's early October. I feel like it's not really, someone hasn't gotten the memo along, you know?
I fear this because when it's too warm here, that means the lake doesn't freeze, which means winter's going to be awful.
Yeah, that's what I'm worried about. But we'll go ahead.
I should jump in and say this is Corey because I think we just introduced him as a Canadian.
As a fellow Edmontonian, yes. I didn't quite hear my name there, but I figured out.
I thought I was saying your name.
It could have just erased from my. It's been one of those days.
Well, the way my voice is working, like it'll talk normal for a little bit, then it starts dropping down again. And when it drops down, I feel like it actually erases the sound. It's like I'm actually creating anti-sound, so who knows. But Corey, we're of course glad to have you just in general, but we brought you in here so that we could have you talk about Warcraft Rumble while we do nothing.
Oh, so, well, I mean, that is why I'm here.
Yes. So if you could talk about Warcraft Rumble now. That would be
hey,
great.
So Warcraft Rumble, it's a thing. It actually has an official release date now, too, as we all know. Or maybe you don't know. It's the Warcraft-themed mobile game coming out from Blizzard in the not-too-distant future, releasing on November...
3rd.
3rd. The first day of BlizzCon. Yay!
It's just crazy release date.
That's a choice. I feel real bad about everyone who's at BlizzCon who's going to try and use any kind of Wi-Fi signal because...
Cool.
I'm sure thousands
yeah.
of people will be instantly trying to download this game as soon as they announce that, hey, you can play Warcraft Rumble right this second on stage. I'm sure they will.
And anybody who's ever tried to use your phone inside of the middle of that convention will know it is a nightmare.
It's already hard enough.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the mobile game. It's got an official release date. For the last month and a half, it has had a soft launch in 14 countries around the world, including Canada. So I have been sinking more than a little time into it because it's pretty fun, actually.
Who knew? Why don't you explain what type of game it is for anybody who may not know what type of game? Mobile game is a very broad spectrum.
It's true. That's true. So it is a mobile game where you have your little base and there's an enemy, a figure, a character from Warcraft history standing at the far end of a field from you, and there's little roots, and you plop down units, and those units will set off and walk towards the opposite side of the map, and they will try and kill whatever they get in the way of that they can kill. So it's a little real-time strategy, it's a little bit quick thinking, and it's all Warcraft. And it's a lot of fun. It's
a little bit country, a little bit rock and roll.
Exactly. So you put out your squad of footmen, and you have them backed up by a nice little or a troll spear thrower, and then you see someone sneaking up on you from the left path, so you hot drop in, spawn a group of skeleton people to, you know, take care of that issue, and then you finally have cycled through your units and your leader has shown up, and so you drop Tyrion Fordring out and he keeps everyone alive and drops the Consecrate for you. And then you go and you kill the Devil Sore from Un'Goro, and you get some gold, and everyone has a grand old time. So it's coming soon.
Back when I was playing in the beta, which has been quite a while, they've revamped the system since I was there. Kind of the most interesting thing seemed to be like building your army, because you can only select so many different minions. You have one specific leader, and then there are different tribes of minions that synergize in different ways. And you kind of, you know, you want your kind of strong melee unit that can go out there and be tanky and deal damage. You kind of want maybe some things that fly and can attack from the sky. It's building those combinations that's what felt interesting to me.
Yeah, you're right. You get six units to play from. And so you kind of look at your whole thing and say, oh, this is what I want to be bringing. You know that your leader is going to be maybe a little tankier, so you don't quite need as many frontline guys. And so you want to work in maybe someone faster so that they can get up to the tower that they have to capture or the meeting stone that they want to capture sooner than others. And you definitely want to make sure you have enough anti-air, because one gargoyle makes it to your base unchallenged. They're great aerial siege units. They will ruin your day very quickly. So you want to make sure that you kind of like fiddle around and make as good of a balanced composition as you can. Or maybe you want to go just full Fast and Furious speedy build and throw a bunch of beasts and raptors at their face, and maybe that works too.
The classic Zerg rush.
Exactly. Speaking of, maybe they'll add Zerg to the game one day. Who knows? There's a lot of room that they can expand this game. Right now it's basically just vanilla Warcraft content, culminating once you've gotten far enough down the path. The big end boss that is currently available is Onyxia. And who knows what we'll see beyond that. They have promised raids coming soon. And so maybe BlizzCon will teach us some information about that. But I'm really looking forward to it.
We have been told that the first raid is going to be Molten Core. So they're really sticking with that super classic vanilla Warcraft theme there.
And we've also seen...
Wait a minute. So Onyxia is the final boss, but the first raid's Molten Core?
Yes.
Interesting.
But the first raid will be a raid, which it sounds like will be seven map, and it will be a seven map kind of stretch where you have to like clear your way through the raid to get to Ragnaros. So who knows how that's going to play with the mechanics as they've got them set up. Maybe it'll be something that you work with another player as a co-op thing. That's always a potential. There is PvP in the game already, so they do have the technology to put two players onto the same map at once.
I believe the raids are going to be up in some way. So you really have to go in with a raid, and that could be interesting, you know, synergizing with another player, because you're used to having your little limited group of your six minions, and maybe that unlocks a whole world of new options and possibilities.
Oh yeah, like if you've been focusing hard on trying to upgrade your undead army units, and so you've got spent a lot of money, because you can improve the quality of your units, which gives them access to talents and makes them just stronger in a lot of ways. Like speeding up your gargoyles, that great aerial siege unit I was talking about. Once they fly faster, they get to their destination quicker, and then, wouldn't you know, you're winning. So changing your pack of skeletons into a skeleton party, which has a tank and a rogue and a warrior and a tank and a rogue and a melee DPS and a ranged DPS and a healer, which is a great little thing to drop in the middle of the map, because all of a sudden you've got a fairly fearsome fighting force. So
is this supposed to make me think of Heroes of the Storm? Because that's what's happening.
Yeah, I'm getting some like some RTS like tower defense vibes from it as well.
That's entirely on purpose, I think. And just like we saw with Hearthstone Mercenaries, that kind of snuck a little Diablo into their peanut butter. I think that it's entirely possible that if Warcraft Rumble does well and continues existing, that we could see some Diablo or some, you know, StarCraft crossover with it. Because basically, all you need to do is be able to take a Blizzard character, change their model a little bit to make them a little bit more exaggerated and cartoony, and something that would look amazing sitting on my mantle or on my desk or in the dashboard of my car, and then just give them a couple animations and give them a little flavor, and bada bing, bada boom. You know that a Zergling is always going to attack with a melee, and you know that you're going to pop out a couple Zerglings at once, and they already have talents from StarCraft, so that's a pretty easy thing to like say, hey, this is a pretty good starting point. We can put this unit in our game. And boy, I would tell you that I would love to drop, have a little Kerrigan walking alongside some Zerglings and a Hydralisk, because that would feel pretty cool. Much like it was really cool to watch Kerrigan walking alongside Raynor and Jaina in Heroes of the Storm.
And how long does a match usually take? Like when you're playing it right now, like what's the time investment like right now?
So each individual match has a 3.5 minute timer. And then if at the end of the 3.5 minutes, nobody has won, you get an extra 60 seconds of overtime where they double your gold income, which is how you play your units. And you can get more gold on the map by opening treasure chests and mining gold with kobold miners. And there's dark iron miners that can be dropped anywhere, too. So you have options for gold mining. So at 4.5 minutes, 5 minutes with maybe your loading times, and you've completed a match.
It's actually not too bad. It reminds me a lot of like when we talked with Ben Brood about Marvel Snap and how quick those matches are, which is roughly in that same time frame. So it sounds like it's fairly easy to pick up and put down.
Oh yeah, mm-hmm. You've got 9 bars to fill for like a daily kind of quest that gives you some extra rewards every 3 bars you fill, and every match you do is one of those bars filled. So if you want to spend 45 minutes playing the game, you can complete your daily quest as it is, as people who are familiar with Warcraft would understand it. And if you can't, it's no biggie, because tomorrow there'll be 3 more prizes. They're nothing that's going to make your eyes pop out of your head and say, this is the most amazing prize ever. If I don't get it today, I'm going to lose my mind. But they're helpful for progression and making your minis stronger. Everyone loves getting more experience, right?
So does it still have the whole like conceit that you're playing like a arcade game somewhere to it? Like I wasn't sure how much of that they kept, so they took the Arclight.
They took Arclight out of the name because apparently it was too many syllables for a mobile game, which I get. Although it does ruin their nice acronym of WAR, which, you know, you definitely can tell that there's somebody who's sad because they pitched that and it got picked, and it's not that anymore. But yeah, it's you do have the gnome from the first cinematic trailer, the cool gnome with a cannon for her arm who crashes her plane on the field. She's kind of like your narrator who walks you through it. And so the conceit's there a little bit around the edges, but it's not a major part of the game. It's just kind of maybe the teensiest bit of set dressing. Occasionally she and Onyxia will have a little back and forth as Onyxia stands in for your main antagonist isn't the right word, but just kind of your main opponent.
And of course, right now in World of Warcraft, there's a little Warcraft Rumble promotion going on where they do have literal Warcraft Rumble arcade machines in the game. And you can go around collecting
all sorts of places.
You can go around finding Rumble tokens around various places, which you can feed into the arcade machine to get little Warcraft Rumble figurines. And then you can go collect foils you can use to customize them. It's just like blind boxes in real life, except you can't get duplicates, so it's a little better. If you want to get them all, you can actually. But yeah, they've pushed that conceit about the arcade machine thing actually farther in World of Warcraft than it feels like in Warcraft Rumble itself.
That's true. It's a fun little conceit. I wonder if just like Hearthstone, where you can get the Hearthstone toy, where you can pop a board out and click on it, you flip it over like you're angry. I wonder how much further we'll end up seeing it be taken.
Yeah, are we going to see people like shaking the arcade machines to get the figures to come out? Maybe.
you know, now obviously the arcade machines exist. The goblins have to include an arcade as part of their next city because it's just goblin kind of style.
Well, yeah, but the goblins would be like making the pirated version. Like, you know how there was like House of the Dead and then there was like all the ripoffs, like, you know, Dead House.
Exactly.
There'd be like, there might be the goblin version would be, instead of Warcraft Rumble, it would just be like, you know, Arclight. Why do we call it Arclight twice? I don't know.
And so if you are one of the people that's buying the BlizzCon pass, there are some skins that you can unlock for it. And if you pre-order the game right now or pre-register to play it once it goes live on day of, you'll also unlock a skin for the Kobold Miner, which is just a default part of your army. Make some little mecha kobolds. If you go to BlizzCon, you get a Murloc hat for them. So they're rolling out the red carpet so it can be part of the whole family.
That does make me... I'm going to ask this last question. This is the only question I got left for Warcraft Rome. What do you think they're going to do for raids after Molten Core? Do you think they're going to just go from original WoW, or do you think they're just going to cherry pick?
I think that it makes sense that they would go in order. Like, right now, you kind of choose each group of five missions, depending on the zone you're going in, and it does follow the zone progression. So you work your way up from Elwynn Forest back and forth across Eastern Kingdoms and Kalimdor to Un'Goro and Blasted Lands and all those places fighting the notorious NPCs from them. And so I think that it would make sense for the game to continue along like that. It depends on how long they want to stay in quote-unquote vanilla content. I think that I could easily see them expanding into Outland and Northrend, and like following the expansion path and adding in new characters and new leaders from the major characters there. Like, it would make sense to see, we already have Tyrion in game, so it would make sense to see Arthas pop up or Kael'thas and Lady Vash, throw in Anub'arak and some Anub'arubians for your armies, that kind of thing. They have so many units and so many characters to choose from that would easily just slot right into this game, and I cannot wait to see every one of them rendered into its art style. Especially since they've released only two of the sets so far, but they are releasing the 3D printing files necessary to print your own copies if you have a 3D printer of these characters. And
that's an interesting choice.
It really surprised me because I would have, why they haven't gone like a Funko-ish route and made 3 to 5 inch copies of them in vinyl and sold them for $30 a pop, I don't know.
Part of the answer about that is really because of cost of distribution and licensing, right? Because you have to find somebody who's willing to take on that license, which is becoming somewhat increasingly difficult, especially with like, while Funko will take on a lot of stuff, it's really hard to have like a whole line of new things that didn't exist before versus just, why not just do a regular line of Warcraft stuff, for example, right? And they've done the vinyl figures before. We talked about this before. Like, I mean, I still have a Treasure Goblin and, you know, Nova and a few other ones from the blind boxes that they've done. But
the
I think
Cupid Deadly were a BlizzCon prize as well.
Yeah. And I think some of the sales on that are starting to fall off, but I think 3D printing is kind of like, I've been saying this for a while. I think making fan content that you can 3D print at home is a really, really cool way to engage with a lot of that stuff, especially for hobbyists. Like, do you remember Figure Prints?
Oh yeah. My roommate has his druid fingerprinted.
Yeah, those were really wild at the time, and now I look back on them and it's like, wow, this is just like really, really colored paper and like compressed. versus like something like this. Like, I think the Warcraft Rumble figures are really, really cool. I think that they look really neat as far as like the stylized art of them. And like, anybody who wants to take a look at them, like, you can go look in WoW if you play WoW and do some of the Arclight Rumble like pop up stuff that comes up for it, and like, you get a good idea of like the art style of it, where it's definitely proportioned a bit differently, definitely has a different art style as far as coloration goes. Those are really cool, and I think that's a neat choice. I'm here for it. This perked me up a little bit.
Yeah, it's definitely a great choice. I've seen a couple people that have printed them and painted them, and they look really good. So, I mean, obviously, some of that is going to depend on the quality of your printer and how good you are at manipulating it. I did see one person recommend changing the orientation of the mini as it prints to be printing on its back, so you need less support struts for it.
Yeah, that's just sound advice in general.
Which is a great tip that, as a layman, I never would have thought about. So,
30 degree angle and have it tilted with their front facing forward and their back to the plate. Yep. We can talk about that. Go. We can talk about that all day long because that's a huge hobby of mine, but that's not what we're here for.
That's not what we're here for. But it is, so if you do have a 3D printer, check it out. The Warcraft Rumble site has the information about how to get so far they've released the files for the Alliance army units and the Beast army units.
Mm-hmm.
So you could print your Jaina, you could print your Quillbore, you could print a pack of Raptors.
They're called mini blueprints, by the way.
Mini blueprints. There you go.
Oh my god, these are cute. Oh man. All right, well, I'm done for a little bit. Y'all keep talking.
He'll be in his bunk.
It's the the spell effects. It's not just characters. They have spell effects on here too, like Arcane Blast, Blizzard, and Holy Nova. That's amazing.
That's right. There are spells in the game. They do take up one of your army slots, so you're choosing whether between Holy Nova or a squad of footmen, maybe, but if used properly, it's, you know, you get down to that, like, the boss has a sliver of health yet, you've hit overtime, they're throwing lots of units your way, you're throwing lots of units their way, but if you have enough spells in your library that you can kind of, like, cycle through fast enough, sometimes that last sliver of health falls to the one chain lightning, and you're feeling real good about that.
There's an angry chicken slot, apparently. this is going to be a fun evening.
Joe's going to log off from the podcast and just 3D print things for the rest of the night.
Well, before that happens, Corey, thank you very much. Are you sticking around or are you going to take off?
If you're cool with me sticking around, I can.
Oh, yeah, totally. Always. The more people are here, the less I have to do. But I'm going to start moving
part of Matthew Rossi today will be played by
Squeaky, the undead sock puppet of Sam Elliott. But regardless, we do have some other stuff to talk about besides the Warcraft Rumble, which, again, coming out in November. November 3rd, you guys said? I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Second.
First day of BlizzCon.
The first day of BlizzCon. So, yeah. I'm positive there's going to be an immediate announcement of some kind of competitive bracket for this game at BlizzCon because that's the only reason I can think of to do that. But we'll see what we get. We should mention then, we should move on since Corey kind of mentioned it already, the BlizzCon collection is something you can buy. It's kind of like a bundle for all these different skins and presents and toys. And, you know, I'm looking at the Warcraft ones, for example. There's a whole bunch of those. There's also ones for other games as well. Like there's mounts and weapons and stands and so forth for Diablo 4. There's at least one Overwatch skin that I can see here, plus various Overwatch currency.
It's basically like it used to be. You could buy a virtual ticket and you could get all of these digital goodies with it.
Yeah.
Who doesn't like digital goodies? Except now they're selling the digital goodies without, there's no virtual ticket this year. It's just being live streamed free. So it's, you're just buying the digital fun stuff.
Yep. There's a, like, the WoW ones include some pretty trippy looking things. There's like a, I don't know what that is. Someone said it's a mount, but it looks like a Zerg.
It's an elemental mount. Yeah, it looks like a Protoss. Like an elemental mount.
Yeah, it looks like his Protoss, and that's cool for a Draenei Shaman, I guess.
It's the same model of elemental that they have on the trading post right now, just with a different skin on it. So
gotcha. So yeah, there's also the ones that Corey mentioned, the Arclight Rumble things that are available. It looks like a couple of Murlocs to me.
You get a Murloc skin for your towers. That as you capture them, they'll look more Murloc-y. So if you like Murlocs, you're in luck. And also a Murloc hat for your kobolds. So when they go mining for you, it looks like you're sending Murlocs across the field.
Okay, yeah, that does kind of hard to tell. You can barely see the little kobolds.
These are relatively expensive for the digital goodies.
Yeah, it's a little pricey this year. There are two packs that you can potentially buy. One of them is the Epic Pack for $29.99. And then there's the Legendary Pack for $49.99.
Yeah,
and that sounds like a lot.
Well, let's go through this real quick because like here's everything that comes in them, right? So the Epic Pack is the Dragonflight Ysirgul pet, which is a Murloc Ysera, because of course. And the Chilling Celebration banner toy. Diablo 4, the Ferocious Lapis Vane mount, the Cobalt Ensign mount trophy, and the Demon Mother Countenance mount trophy, which are things that you can ride and put onto your ride, like if you want to pimp your ride in Diablo 4. Overwatch 2 comes with 1,000 credits, which is about $10 worth of credits, a murky weapon charm, and a mystery name card, which is available starting November 3rd, but I have no idea what that is. Hearthstone, you get the BlizzCon card back, which we've seen that before. Five packs and five golden standard packs. And then you get the Warcraft Rumble skin. Legendary pack, you get the mount that we're talking about, which is the Bound Blizzard Flying Mount. You get Diablo 4, the Fearsome Midnight Harness Mount Armor, and a premium battle pass redeemable for any one season, which that's what, about $10, give or take?
Isn't it?
You cut out there, Liz.
Isn't it 15?
So about 15? Okay. You get Overwatch 2's Drowned Warriors Sigma Epic skin, as well as a Season 7 Premium Battle Pass, which if you already bought the Battle Pass for $10, hopefully you really like that skin. You get a signature legendary card for Hearthstone, and then you get that Murloc Tower skin that we were talking about. It doesn't feel like a good bang for your buck to me. Maybe I'm being jaded.
Cutting in here, I was wrong about the Diablo 4 Battle Pass. That is indeed $10.
Okay.
I
don't know. Not feeling it.
Yeah, I'm not really feeling it either.
I think, as always, if you're playing a lot of the Blizzard games, you're going to get a decent return on it.
Yeah.
If you're playing only Warcraft, you're probably going to look at it and say, "Hey, that's not enough."
Yeah, or if you're only playing Diablo 4, or if you're only playing Overwatch, it's spending $50 for a couple of things from, you know, it comes down to, if you're getting everything and you will use everything, then it's $50 is not that bad for what you're getting. But if you're not, and I don't know who are actually playing everything that puts out right now, it's a lot of time. Yeah, I feel like the less other games you're playing than your one game that you play.
Oh, correction. The 1,000 credits is not even the premium credits for Overwatch 2. It's the 1,000 silver credits, which is the stuff that you can maybe use to buy skins. So that's even less of a value proposition. And this is according to this is their own website, by the way. Just throwing that out there.
The top tier purchase does include an Overwatch 2 premium battle pass, so you do get.
Well, only something. for season seven.
Which
is currently going
just
on.
Just started.
Yep.
Season 7 just kicked off.
How long do Overwatch seasons run for?
55 days.
So you get half of a pass. You get half a season to fill your pass.
No, because it's available right now, I think, right? Is it? No.
Yeah, I think if
all these items will be available. Yeah, I think you can purchase them now. So like I'm not gonna lie, I just bought the Battle Pass Premium for for Overwatch 2 for $10 because it came with the skin for Bastion because it was really, really cute and he turns into a pumpkin. But like, yeah, I don't know that me knowing about this would have changed anything aside from if this is the only way to get the Sigma skin, and looking at it in game, this is the only way to get the Sigma skin.
I will say this much though, is I'm really looking forward to the single player player versus environment content in Blizzard Watch 2.
Yes.
And I'm curious to what my skins will be, because I've been really disappointed in my skins for Blizzard Watch. I started off with, like, you know, full head of hair and this big beard, and now I'm like, my head shaved and my beard looks like a crazy mountain prospector. And the voice pack that they've added, I'm really not fond of it. I just think in general, I'm looking forward to, oh, hold on, I got a thing here. There will be no single player PvE content for Blizzard Watch 2. Well, there'll be a series of missions, but there will no longer be the whole player, the PvE game. We're just going to have a campaign. Yeah, that's gone now. Sorry. I didn't mean to get anyone's hopes up. Anyway, what else we got besides that? I guess we should talk about that Overwatch season, because it's today, as you guys pointed out. Season 7, The Rise of Darkness, with lots of the skins based on other Blizzard games, like, for example, the skin that Joe was just talking about, which is a skin for Sigma that looks like
he's a gravity tank. He controls the forces of gravity.
And he's drowning, apparently. He's one of the drowned from Diablo 4. There's a Lilith skin from Moira.
There's a lot of gravity down there.
Yeah, I guess. Or pressure. Pressure is the same as gravity, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
but there's the Moira skin that is Lilith, which I thought was pretty cool.
Fantastic look. It looks so good.
Yeah, so, I mean, if Blizzard's going to do this, it's a good time to do it. I mean, Halloween's a good time for Moira to turn into Lilith. It is actually a really good skin. It's this lovely gold-colored thing that just... not sure what's going on with the Junker Queen skin here. I don't know who that is.
Barbarian.
Okay. Well, it makes sense. Good. Yeah. You should be a barbarian. So, yeah. The new map of... new map of Samora. Samoa.
Yep.
Yeah. Samoa is now... got a lot more tubes than I remember, but okay. the Onryo Hanzo mythic skin, which, man, that's a skin.
It's essentially their take on like an Oni skin without calling it an Oni skin.
Oh, I gotcha.
And it changes his wolves into demons at some point, and you can mess with the colors like the other mythic stuff, which is super cool.
There's also the legendary Inarius Pharah skin. The pumpkin spice themed skin for Bastion, which, yes, I absolutely bought the pass for that because it's cute. There's the Ghost Bride skin for Widowmaker. And there's the Victorian doll skin for Echo, which is super creepy and super on brand for the season.
Is that the one with the weeping eye makeups thing happening?
The weepy eye one is the undead bride, the Ghost Bride.
Yeah. Yeah, that is actually a really detailed skin. It turns Echo into Lita.
I will say this, Overwatch's skins are exceptionally well done when they do something more than just a recolor. Like it's they do go out all out for it. So
but yeah, so
oh, and that, there's one other thing that is important here too that is part of the season is that the Sombra has received a rework. She has a whole new kit available to her now that season 7 has begun.
Oh, and the Halloween Terror 2023 event, we should also mention is happening.
Yes.
There's also a new Blizzard crossover game mode in Trials of Sanctuary, which is, I mean, I don't think they've actually done that before. I mean, they did the Blizzard World thing, but I don't think they've actually done You're in Sanctuary now. So that's interesting. But yeah, it, as Liz pointed out, it is this thing's live right now. Like it live as we are recording,
and I'll be playing it after the podcast.
Yeah, I won't be,
because I can play now. Yay! I'm still very excited by this.
Joe can still play Overwatch again. It's cool. We're all very happy.
And if Lilith and Overwatch wasn't enough Lilith for you, in 5 days Lilith is also available in a bundle in Call of Duty Warzone.
Really?
Yeah, yes. They're doing a whole lot of crossovers with the Activision stuff as well. So
I did not know that. Sorry, I feel like I let people down because I would have put that in the email.
Blizzard has let their characters out to play for the first time, as far as I can remember.
I certainly don't remember the previous Call of Duty crossovers, so yeah.
They've gotten a lot of the big iconic horror characters, Ghostface and Freddy Krueger, I think, is in there. Don't quote me on that, because I only know Ghostface for sure. But yeah, Lilith and Inarius are both showing up as characters that you can play as, or have your character play as skins for them. And I think that the Butcher will also be making an appearance in Warzone maps where he will come and show up and do Butcher things.
That seems about right.
But Lilith comes out on October 15th and Inarius is out on October 26th for $20 a pop.
All right. So there you have to look forward to that if you are playing Call of Duty.
Sorry, I was just coughing up my lungs. That's messed up, but cool. Okay. since we're talking about stuff you can do in other games, we might as well go through the various Amazon Prime stuff.
Before we do that, we should probably talk about the Fall of the Lich King patch now being available in Wrath Classic.
Now we should talk about that after, so we can give it more time. Unless we're like, how?
Because the only reason I'm bringing this up is because nothing has really changed in the Amazon Prime stuff because it is just still ongoing. It's all the same stuff that's happening that we've seen until October 19th and 24th.
Yeah, we should mention it for a couple of reasons, actually, so you're right. All right, I will accept that your argument. As Joe's pointing out, the Fall of the Lich King patch is now out for Wrath Classic, and that's the one where you get to go to Ice Crown Citadel. But Ice Crown Citadel itself will not be open until the 12th, which is 2 days as we're recording this, which is fine. A couple of days to wait. You know, the second that drops, you don't just get to go running off to Ice Crown. I think that's pretty much what they did the first time,
yes.
If I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. But there are some... Go ahead. Parcel out the wing releases, though? Couldn't you only do the Plague Wing to start with, and then you had to wait a little bit?
I don't think you could do Plague Wing right away. I think it was you had to do... Like, you could get up to the top and fight... What's his name? His name was Drenosh, because it meant Heart of Drenor. that guy. I think that's where it stopped.
Deathbringer Tarfang.
So I think it was Deathbringer Sawfang, and then the like 2 weeks later, it was Plaguewing, and then it was they opened the other two after that. But I don't remember very well, because by the time my guild got up there, we was already old. Because man, Deathbringer Sawfang, he just was like a
troll. That was a fight. That was a.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
A heck of a mid-tier stop fight.
You know, tanking that fight was literally just so anxiety causing. But regardless, for you people who are about to experience it, you'll blow through it in like 2 days. Who are you kidding? I did think, however, the thing I found really interesting, I don't know if you guys noticed this, I tried to make it obvious that I was going to mention it, is that they have the random dungeon finder.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And it, players can now queue for the random dungeon finder for individual dungeons in normal, heroic, defense protocol alpha, defense protocol beta, and defense protocol gamma. I couldn't find enough to tell, is this basically just like LFD again? Or do you have to queue up as a group? Does anyone know?
No, it's individual. So players can go into the queue, I believe. And
so it's basically just a dungeon finder.
Which is mm-hmm. fine, but it's with a dungeon finder with the extra protocols put on top of it for those hard modes that we were talking about.
Yeah, but my point is that they went on and on at the beginning of you know, Wrath Classic about how they didn't want to have Dungeon Finder. And now they're bringing Dungeon Finder
you know
in.
What? You know what, though? I'm not going to harp too much on that because we've talked about this before. Classic has sort of spun up into its own thing, really, and that's probably for the best, where it's been introducing a bunch of new mechanics and quality of life things and making choices that are more modern in viewpoint, I guess I would say. And this just seems like another one of it. Like, I get it. Like, they did make a big deal out of, like, we're not going to do this, but honestly, at the end of the day, when you have a player base that is spread out, or maybe you have an individual who has an interest in doing these particular things with like the alpha, the beta, the delta and the gamma defense protocols with the Titan runes, maybe having something like this is just the better idea and is better for the player base. So
Liz, I heard you trying to talk. So what were you about to say?
I mean, when they first launched Wrath Classic, they were like, if we don't have a dungeon finder, that will keep that classic experience. Because a lot of people, I think what they miss about classic, about vanilla WoW, is you had a real sense of community, you know, because you would spend hours and hours and hours in trade chat trying to find tank or a healer or that last person to go to your Uber's run. And you got to know people. You knew tanks. You would put, if you found a good tank, you would put them on your friends list. If you found a reliable DPS that didn't just pull everything, and you would put them on your friends list. You would reach out to these people. Like, you really, there was a whole different social environment, classic. And when Wrath launched, they wanted to maintain that by not adding a dungeon finder tool, which was originally added in Wrath Classic. Wrath of the Lich King, not Wrath Classic.
Wrath 1.0.
Originally launched.
Wrath 1.0.
Yes. Wrath 1.0. But there was a lot of player demand for a dungeon finder.
Mm-hmm.
And the developers have finally given in and said, okay, you're asking for a dungeon finder. We can add a dungeon finder. And this does match the original Wrath experience. But they were kind of trying to keep it, to keep the classic feeling classic, which was kind of a non-dungeon finder world.
And they're making some other choices that I think are interesting too, right? Like going back to the Ice Crown Citadel. So like heroic mm-hmm. mode of Ice Crown Citadel has a finite number of 50 attempts per week on the heroic mode, which is the same thing they did for Trial of the Crusader. It's basically trying to add stakes to heroic mode clearing of those particular raids, which I think is a very interesting mechanic, because I know doing raids at level back then, we just banged our head against whatever boss we were having trouble with, and we would do way more than 50 attempts. At least this is a, hey, you wiped 50 times, go take a breather, which maybe some players might not like, but I think it's probably best for mental health.
It can feel really discouraging to spend two whole raid nights working on the same boss and put up 100 wipes on that because you can't get past a 3-minute mark kind of thing.
Yeah. And then the Titan Defense or the Titan Rune Dungeons, the Defense Protocol Gamma being added. I don't think we ever really talked about what that does. So, I mean, did we?
These are kind of your Mythic Plus versions of, you know, Wrath Dungeons, where you can go in and you can activate Defense Protocol Gamma. That's the latest, hardest mode, and go in and do it with an increased difficulty. Mobs do more health, mobs do more damage, that kind of thing. So you're doing a tougher dungeon run and getting better loot in exchange. So it really is completely the Mythic Plus aesthetic from World of Warcraft retail.
And there is also in those dungeons, we should note that there is a Sun Reaver or the Silver Covenant NPC, which will be present to offer players additional beneficial buffs to assist them in the dungeon as well when the defense protocols are active. So, and it drops a currency as well, which is, I think it's the Defiler Scourge Stone currency, which you can then use to purchase items level 245, which is Trial of the Crusader 25 player reward worthy level, which is kind of neat. And then you can also, and some folks may remember this, Signets of the Silver Covenant or Signets of the Sun Reaver will be given to players upon starting any Protocol Gamma dungeon. These signets allow players to summon their faction-specific warden throughout their time in the dungeon in order to help them with what's going on, which I think is kind of cool. So it's interesting. This is the type of stuff that makes me interested in Classic. I'm not going to lie. Like, new interesting takes on stuff that we've already done, I'm here for it. And I'm going to shut up and let other people talk. I talked a lot.
I love it that because we see how quickly the Classic people can clear their raids, and we know that everything has been, like, every raid fight has been solved and how to do it as fast as possible. It's usually just to throw warriors at the problem. So I love that we're seeing a way to
that does track.
I love that we're seeing a way to take the familiar content and still keep it basically true to what you could have reasonably seen during the Wrath 1.0 the first time around, but still give it a fresh coat of paint and still make it a fun and exciting way to spend your time at Wrath Classic.
Yeah. I don't know if there's much else to add to that one, unless you guys can think of anything.
The real question I have about Wrath Classic is, what are they doing next? Because this is kind of going to be the winding down of Wrath Classic. We have Ice Cream Citadel coming up. We have Ruby Sanctum will be coming after it, but Ruby Sanctum's like a little one boss raid. That's not.
Yeah, like two.
Yeah, it's not exactly a raid. So, you know, what's next? Because in our Warcraft universe, after Wrath came Cataclysm, and Cataclysm is kind of the expansion that overhauled Azeroth that a lot of the Classic players sort of want to get away from. Theoretically, you wanted to stay in that old school Azeroth.
It was certainly a expansion that many people have strong feelings about.
Yes.
Yes. That is true.
I've never, with the whole Classic thing, I've never seen them taking it into Classic Cataclysm the way it stood, because it just changed too much of the original experience. And we start getting into the more modern design sensibilities that people who have really enjoyed Classic have said that they do not enjoy. You have the really hard dungeon. Well, you have the, when it was launched, the heroic dungeons were really hard, but you have the smaller raid sizes because they split the 10 and 25 man at that point. 10 man heroic, I remember that being a big thing, and in a way that wasn't that in Wrath.
Wrath is absolutely 10 and 25 and 10 and 25.
True,
five.
Sorry. But there was something about the change in the rating and Cataclysm that turned off a lot of the 25 man raids who pushed heroic. Mm-hmm. And I can't remember exactly what it was, but I remember reading someone's very long detailed blog post about their raiding career and how Cataclysm was the nail in the coffin for their, you know, there weren't raiding Race to World First guilds back then in the same way that there are today, but they had a very high-end guild that just never recovered after Cataclysm. So seeing what the classic game decides to do with this big crossing the Rubicon moment of you can't go back to the vanilla once Cataclysm comes out because you have just wiped your world. Do they put a toggle in? Do they do the bronze dragonflight thing where a guy sits in his zone and you talk to them and you change the world back to vanilla? Or is that just too much game to put in your game?
Well, there are classic era servers and Wrath servers. So if you just want to play straight up vanilla WoW, you can go and play on a classic era server, or you can play the updated version, play on a Wrath server, which has the Wrath and the Burning Crusade content. So they could do it that way. I'm just really curious. Will they? Can they? Is it still classic if you're doing Cataclysm? I don't know.
Is it still classic if Ragnaros has legs?
Technically, yeah.
Only the most classic.
Technically, he always had legs.
And he knew how to use them. He never begged.
We just weren't enough of a threat for him to stand up from his hot tub. That was the issue back in vanilla.
All right, fine. I guess we have ants. I'll have to get out of the tub.
I mean, the thing is that WoW Classic in general seems to be way too popular for Blizzard to just say, okay, we're at the end of Wrath of the Lich King and now we're done. They've got to do something, but I don't know what they do. Are we going to start back over on vanilla again? Are we going to have more Seasons of Mastery, which I always thought they should do more Seasons of Mastery, but they haven't yet.
Yeah, they kind of stopped with that idea.
Yeah, we're a month away from BlizzCon, and they're sure to announce something, but what? It's a mystery.
It reminds me of something. I don't really, I can't think of how to put it. Like, this is very much like a moment where one possibility would be to do something that goes into what they've been talking about in terms of like taking it in its own direction and doing stuff that's not related to the original game, is like you could theoretically come up with a different WoW expansion for Wrath Classic. You could do a different expansion. It doesn't have to be Cataclysm. Mm-hmm. Or you could do Cataclysm without the rule changes.
Yeah, and the interesting thing,
you could just make it, you know, you go deal with Deathwing, but it's all the same, you know, rules. You could do a lot of different things.
And honestly, I'm kind of interested to see, like, I would be on board if they did that, if they did like an alternate timeline, like split off, which I know has been something that's been kicked around a lot on Reddit and some of the other places and even on the forums themselves, where instead of having Cataclysm, you have a different trajectory. Like you're talking about having a different expansion or something like that. And I know some people, and I'm looking at you, Padilla, because this is I understand why people are be concerned about, you know, doing something like that might take away resources from other things like retail. But I think if they were to really just kind of stagger the development and keep what they have as far as like the team that's working on it right now doing stuff like that, there's potential for it. There's potential to have some really neat and nifty ideas, because Cataclysm really is a shattering point, right? Like it is one of those points where, you know, like Corey brought out or pointed out that like people will love or hate, and it sort of changed engagement with the game in a very fundamental way. Some people just stopped playing. Some people picked up the game for the first time as a result of it. Like it's all over the place. But I always kind of wonder what would happen if Cataclysm never happened. Right? Like Magni never does his thing and Deathwing never comes back. You know, where would we be? What would a Warcraft world like that look like?
Just feels a little static, because they'd have to push the stories as is forward in a lot of those zones, because they couldn't just, that was the big selling point of Cataclysm, was that for the first time, the things you had done in some of the zones mattered.
Yeah.
That sure, Deathwing cut a big, you know, furrow down the middle of the zone, but hey, you know, what's his fate? Mancric isn't looking for his wife anymore. He knows that she's gone. That's happened. We've settled that. He can move on with his life.
Yeah.
So it would be interesting to see if they don't go the Deathwing route where they shatter the world, can they keep the zones in a way looking like they are, but still find a way to push those stories forward in a meaningful way that makes the people playing Classic happy with their choice.
And then what comes after that, right? Like, if you don't do Cataclysm, do you do Mists of Pandaria? Or does that ever happen? Is there ever an impetus in which we get there? Like, does Battle for Azeroth ever happen? Or does it look completely different? Like, it's Matt and I will often talk about this on Lore Watch about like my love of the what if comics that Marvel does that explore like, you know, what if this happened instead of this? Like, what if Miles Morales became like, what if Miles Morales was Captain America instead of Spider-Man? Like, what if that happened there? Sure. Do we start getting a what if Warcraft, and what does that look like? And I find myself kind of intrigued by
Storm.
That.
It looks like Heroes of the Storm. I mean, seriously, I have half of the Heroes of Storm skins were like, you know, Thrall, but evil.
Yeah.
Or what if Malfurion, you know, had his eyes ripped out and he turned into a, you know, demon hunter, and his brother, Illidan, was the chief druid. You know, lots of interesting, weird little things. I'm not entirely kidding when I say nice things about Heroes of the Storm. I think it had a lot of potential.
It had so much potential, and I light a candle for it every day. I miss
Same.
It so much.
Same.
It was my favorite MOBA, and you know, I will defend it to the death as being the pinnacle of the game design. That I think that the matches are short enough, the mechanics are varied enough, and we're just relitigating at this point. You know, I love Heroes of the Storm. You love Heroes of the Storm. It just Blizzard didn't love it enough. And
yeah, basically. But I think at this point we're kind of like running low on time.
We are running low on time, yes.
So we got to try and...
Sun's getting real low, big guy.
That's what happens when you get me on to talk. I just talk and talk.
No, I think it's a good thing. I like having an extra opinion. Matt, where do you want to go with this?
I'm going to quickly break through some stuff here. We didn't talk about Little Mags, who's still up for sale. Little Mags, Little Pit Lord. You can still buy him until October 31st, and then he'll be on the trading post in the future, but we don't know when. Going to quickly run through.
I believe after his store tenure,
they've said on the store they don't know when. Like straight up, it says when you buy the thing, it'll be at a future date. That's what they say.
But no sooner than 3 months.
Yeah, I'm going to mention these Amazon Prime things really fast. There's still the Diablo 4 Vermilion Dark Tome and Bolt Thrower. That sale ends on October 19th. There's the World of Warcraft Zipao Tiger Pet. You can get that until October 24th. The Hearthstone Random Standard Epic card thing, you can get those. That's going to end on October 18th. And the Overwatch 2 Mercy Owl skin, which ends on October 19th. I have not seen anything for Twitch drops. I looked, but sometimes Liz finds one. I don't know. I think
this is it at the moment.
So now
someone's going to correct me. Now that I've said that, someone's going to correct me. But to the best of my knowledge...
Almost no time, but we've got to talk about this. Be quiet, I will destroy you. Diablo 4, they had a dev water cooler today, as we're recording this, and last week they had a big stream where they talked all about Season 2 and Patch 1.2.0. A lot of talking points. We're not going to be able to get through most of them.
But
I am going to throw a little bit in because I wrote a post. I don't know if it got run or not, but it will sooner or later. We talked about they basically made a couple of interesting points about uniques. One point that they made was that uniques didn't have the splash that they wanted, that they weren't as popular. They don't excite people as much, and they haven't really had the impact on gameplay that they wanted them to have. So they're looking into ways. Go ahead.
Unique should be like the most exciting item in a game. Unique should drop and you should be like, yes, I got this unique. Like, it's so great. I'm going to equip it right now.
Like they felt in Diablo 2.
Yeah, or you know, like I mentioned the Bull Kathos set as an example of when that thing dropped, you were like,
But in Diablo 4, it's not really like that because you can get a unique, but it rolled low level. Like I could get a unique that is sacred, but I'm playing on World Tier 4 where all I want is ancestral gear, and I'm gonna like see the unique drop and be super excited, and then I'm gonna look at it and it's like a 100 or, item power under what I'm equipping, and I'm going to throw it in the trash.
Even if you get a unique that actually is at the level you're playing at, like say you get an ancestral one that's high enough level, but to use it, you lose too much of the stats that your class uses. I think one example someone pointed out was like, you know, crit is a big deal. They're changing that. They're trying to make overpower better for people and so forth. But if you're just losing too much of your stats for that rare proc thing that the unique has, like, you know, I have a lightning damage build. Like all my stuff has got bonus lightning damage because I'm a druid and I'm lightning damaging things. And this staff is great, except that it doesn't have lightning damage. So now I will basically be completely destroying my build. And that means I have to go and redo all my Paragon choices and redo some of my talent choices. And it's just like,
which that's yeah. One.
What'd you say, Corey?
Just
that costs a lot. And yeah. Who has that kind of gold just lying around? And this,
it's also, it's not just expensive. There is no way in the game currently to reset all of your Paragon points. You would have to click each one of them individually to refund them.
Yeah.
You'll have to individually redo them. Yeah, it is a nightmare.
But
they are adding a way to do that in 1.2.0.
1.2.1, which is coming out later, but before BlizzCon.
Yeah. But I mean, they're trying to do some things to make uniques more compelling. One of them is that they'll have uniques that can have abilities that uniques that currently weapons in that slot can't have. Like a weapon or like, say you're wearing a hat and the unique hat drops. Ordinarily, unique hats can't have, let's say, a bonus crit. That's not true, but just for an example, this unique hat can. Like uniques can have stats that you otherwise couldn't get in certain slots. And that will mean that if you are doing a tailored build, uniques are going to be more attractive now because they will have abilities in slots where you normally wouldn't be able to stack anything. Like, oh, I can't stack that. Now you can. This ring has that. You know, you wanted more minion damage, that this ring has it. It's that sort of thing. The other thing is that they'll have completely unique stats. Like one of the ones they mentioned was the unique could have like a spirit regeneration on damage thing that isn't currently in the game, but this one unique could have it because uniques get to have special unique things. The third was that when they get a stat, the unique will get more of a higher range. Like if the normal range is like from 10 to 25%, let's say, you know, what's a good damage for warlocks? Not warlocks, necromancers. Like like bone damage. Bone damage is a thing, right?
Bone, blood.
Yeah. So say you normally can get between 10 and 25% of additional bone damage. This unique can give you between 30 and 40%, making it more attractive because it has higher stats. It's just you'll get more of what you're looking for. And finally, they're revamping specific legendary powers that uniques currently have, because those powers require they basically require the stars to align properly for the unique to even get a proc, and they want to make it so that the things proc more because unique that doesn't proc very often isn't very interesting. And so I think these are decent design choices, and you know, we haven't gotten to see too many of the changed ones. We've seen like Azerath and so forth. I think at this point, since this patch is coming out in what, like 6 days, 7 days?
Yeah, next week. It's launching on October 17th, which is next Tuesday.
Yeah.
And that will be the end of Diablo 4 Season 1 and the beginning of Diablo 4 Season 2. But a lot of the changes coming with Season 2 are actually just coming to the base game. So even if you're playing on Eternal Realm, you don't want to deal with the season, you'll have most of all of these just gameplay changes, these static gameplay changes.
And it's worth pointing out that at this point, since it's like a week until this thing comes out, I think that we're going to see like the changes they're talking about, and they're calling them hypothetical. I think that a lot of them are just going to happen because there's not time to talk about doing all this and then do nothing. But it might not come out. Some of them might not come out till 1.2.1, because we know that's down the road a little bit. Regardless, we also know that there are specific. I keep saying legendaries instead of uniques. There's specific uniques and specific uber uniques that drop off of specific bosses in the season. One of them was that the Echo of Duriel, which involves some of these bosses are ridiculous to get to come up. They're like Thunder Fury, they're like, you know, like Thunderon on steroids. It's like you have to kill this guy, and then you have to collect body parts to spawn this guy, who you then have to kill in order to get this guy to come up. It's like, whoa.
This is a completely new endgame advancement system, really, that adds, I mean, endgame in Diablo 4 right now is kind of like, okay, I'm going to run a lot of nightmare dungeons. I'm going to run nightmare dungeons forever because that's the only content that scales after a certain level. So you just run the same nightmare dungeons forever and ever and ever. This is going to add some alternatives to that with, you know, a selection of bosses that you can summon and kill. And each boss is going to have a specific fixed loot table. So we can go and look at that loot table and say, oh, this boss drops the unique I want. So I'm going to farm the materials to summon them, and I'm going to kill them until I get that unique. Because presently in Diablo 4, there are certain dungeons that are more likely to drop certain types of gear, but most of it's random. If you want a specific unique, you're just chaos take the reins. It's completely random.
Yeah, you can't. The problem, another problem with uniques, and I think this is the one that I don't think that they've covered directly in their post, is that how excited can you get about a unique if you never get it?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And if the loot is random, completely random, yeah. I mean, there's a few that I know I can farm for, but most of them, I just have to kill everything and hope it drops.
Those 1 in 10 billion chase items, it's infeasible. You're never going to get them, so I wouldn't put any stock in getting them. I would never be like, oh,
yeah.
So my build revolves around a Shaco, so I need a Shaco.
That's why I think making it so that you can actually say, I'm just going to summon that this guy has this thing on his loot table and drops it like 10% of the time, so I'm just going to kill him until he drops it, is feasible when it's like 10%. It's not feasible when it's 0.00001%. You know, it becomes, I'm not going to waste my time hoping I get that. If I get it, great, but it's not likely. And yeah, so I think that's the ability to tailor what you're doing to get a drop. That's important. If you want people to be excited about uniques, they have to have them.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, just some of them, just this is not something that happens. But there's lots more. They went through like a whole big thing about the new vampire powers, about the there's like a 3-piece set that you kind of get. I'm not sure exactly how it works. It's like blood pieces or something.
I don't completely understand this one myself, which is why I've asked to write about it. I do that a lot. I ask people to write things for the website, but it's really just so I can understand the things. Sometimes that works out if they write it fast, and then I understand them immediately.
Yeah, I made the mistake of writing mine about the uniques, so I didn't write about that, the new gear. But basically, it's like gear that you get, and then you can like customize it through infusing it with blood. Which, I mean, I'm going to be up front. I don't know if people know how bad a lot of blood smells. I grew up on a farm. You get a lot of blood everywhere. It's not a good smell.
Right now in Season of the Malignant, we're enhancing our powers by killing monsters, cutting out their hearts, and attaching them to jewelry. So we've got to be used to how blood smells and how rotting flesh attached to our jewelry smells.
Yeah. I feel like the Malignant stuff also kind of has somewhat of a pulsating horrorness to it that it would really also be a problem. But, you know, it doesn't mean I'm looking forward to season 2 and my, you know, ood of rotting blood. But yeah, there's a lot in this season, and a lot of it is coming to the base game, which is, I think, good.
We can talk about how nice Warcraft smells all the time, because there's all kinds of flowers.
I don't think you have time to consider how Warcraft smells, because you're always putting on stuff that's made out of the blood of an old god, or that's raw corruption itself, and like tendrils are growing into your brain and convincing you this is all fine.
Look, he gave me a gift. It'd be rude to return it.
Yes, I understand. Hey, would you like to have an eyeball hat? Maybe? Mm. What about I just put an eyeball on your head?
I already have
two. Now you have a 3.
That's a 50% increase in the number of eyeballs.
Yeah.
I know we're running late, but I do want to bring up maybe the biggest change in this coming patch for Diablo 4, which is you're totally reworking resistances. Mm-hmm. If you have been paying any attention to the math, you could look at your Diablo 4 character sheet and realize resistances make no sense. None. You can look at the numbers and the numbers on your gear, and they make no sense. There's no form of math that explains this. I mean, apparently it is, because
stack
it's
well. They don't stack in a reasonable, understandable way. Like, there's lots of diminishing returns on it, and you're like, oh, how much resistance do I need to get to a certain point? Ha ha! That depends, my friend.
It's so beyond the comprehension of mere mortals that it's a very mysterious system. And because armor currently is resist all, armor resists physical damage as well as all types of magical damage, it's like, okay, I could stack more armor, or I could get plus poison resist. Let's say I put on this ring that's plus 25 poison resist, but then my character sheet I look at and my poison resist went up by 5% because reasons. So a lot of people have been saying resistances are worthless. Just put armor on. Put on bigger armor numbers plus armor percentage. So in patch 1.2, they've completely gutted the way resistances work. They are now straight up additive. So if I put on plus 10% poison resist, I'm going to get plus 10% poison resist on my character sheet. I'm going to have 10% resist. And if I put another 10% on, then I'm going to have 20% resist. It adds up in a clear, completely understandable way. I'm into it. But there will be a resistance cap to replace that kind of complicated diminishing returns map. The cap is going to be 70% for all resistances. And you'll have your, instead of having these resist poison, resist cold, resist lightning, you're going to have just resist all is going to be on gear. So it's going to be, the whole thing is a lot less complicated, I like. And armor is now going to be purely for physical resistances. So this is going to, you know, encourage you not to completely ignore an entire defensive stat. You're going to have some resistances. You're going to have armor. And you're probably going to want to use elixirs that boost your resistances to various things. You're going to go in and fight a bunch of things with poison. You probably want to use a poison resist elixir because those elixirs will now allow you to boost your resistance up over that 70% cap. So that increases the value of those elixirs. It's going to make resistances way more understandable, and it's going to make you want to mix up your stats a little more than you do now.
I mean, I agree with what you just said. So, yay. I mean, resistance have been terrible this whole time. Corey was going to say something, so now I'm going to shut up.
I'm just saying I dig it, that because when I put on resistance gear, I want it to feel like I've put on resistance gear, and finally we've gotten there.
Plus, it's really strange to me to have armor provide resistance. Because armor hasn't provided resistance in any game that I've played, like, in years. Like, from WoW to Diablos 2 and 3. It just, it's an odd thing to do. And it did make it completely unnecessary to stack resistances in any way. Why would you do that when I can get resistance to everything by putting more armor on?
I mean, it almost felt like it was an oversight. Like, they accidentally just coded armor to where armor cuts everything. Because it was so weird. Armor so superior to any other defensive stat. So I'm glad they're making the change, even though it is going to be kind of a defensive nerf to all of us. But yeah. I think it's a good change. It's good for the game.
At this point, we are now 15 minutes over, so I'm going to turn to Joe and say, could you do the thing, Joe?
Blizzard Watch is made possible due to the generous contributions at patreon.com/blizzardwatch. Your continued support means this podcast site and community is able to thrive and grow. Blizzard Watch supporters enjoy exclusive benefits like early access to the podcast, better chance at having your question answered on our podcast or the queue, and an ads-free site experience.
Thank you very much, Joe. We didn't get to any questions tonight, and I'm sorry about that, but we do still want them. So if you want to send them, you can go to our Discord and use either the Patreon Q and Podcast Questions channel, or if you're not a patron, we still love you. You can use the Q and Podcast Questions channel, which doesn't involve it being a patron. Or you can email us at podcast@blizzardwatch.com with the subject line podcast or Blizzard Watch, so we know it's for this show and not one of the, I think, 3.5 billion other podcasts we might be doing. Who knows? So we know. And so, like, when I get some questions that I think are meant for Joe's podcast, but I don't know because they don't actually say, that's confusing for me. And I'm a simple person. So, but thank you to Corey for showing up and taking the whole Warcraft Rumble thing onto himself. I kind of feel like you're now our Warcraft Rumble correspondent.
It just kind of happened. I don't know how.
Yeah. It's because you're Canadian, but you actually went and got the game, whereas I'm Canadian, but I was like, no.
Well, you should try it because it's fun.
I'm sure it's fun, but man, I have so much already. Something, I can't put another game on the pile, man. This is Jenga, and I'm going to ruin everything. But also, thank you to Joe and Liz, as always, being here, keeping things on an even keel. And more importantly, keeping me from wasting our time and keeping me on point, because that's something that's helpful, especially when I am somewhat feverish. This has been the Blizzard Watch Podcast. Thank you guys so much for being here with us, and we will be back next week.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.